It is that time of year when media people break out into the case of the best ofs, feeling the need to rank just about anything and everything that happened in the past 300 plus days. We sorted through some of those lists, and the BPP brings you the best of the best of 2007. You're simply the best. And today it's Time Magazine's selection of the top 10 underreported stories of the year, stories that didn't get tossed around in the news cycle ad nauseum. The list will not include Hillary Clinton, Don Imus, or Don't Tase Me, Bro. Tiffany Sharples compiled the list of the top 10 underreported stories for Time. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Luke. How you guys doing? Hey.
So how was this list compiled, and what qualified a story as being underreported?
Well, the way that I compiled the list, I started off by sort of getting input from our correspondents and reporters, and then also talking to representatives from organizations that specialize in humanitarian issues or medical issues like UNICEF or Doctors Without Borders. And once I had this sort of massive list of different issues, I started narrowing it down with reporting. And what qualifies a story as underreported is sort of difficult to say because it's not really a specific quantitative definition. It's not, you know, It was only reported in two obscure newspapers, you know, 6 months ago or something like that. It's much more sort of qualitative, you know, has it gained traction in the cultural discourse? Is this something that people are aware of and discussing over the dinner table? And sort of that was the quality that we were looking for.
All right, so number one on your list, the UN ambassador from a certain country told your magazine, Time, quote, "We have a major crisis and it's being ignored." Tell us where this ambassador was from and why does he believe, and Time believe, that this story was ignored?
That was Amadou Ould Abdallah. He's the top UN envoy for Somalia. And actually, the latest figure in Somalia is that there are 1 million Somalis who have been displaced from their homes due to the infighting that's going on in the country. And, you know, this has been a crisis that's been going on for, you know, 17 years. And I think, you know, in the piece we mentioned that, readers have really sort of gotten fatigued of reading about this issue because it has been going on for so long. But what people aren't aware of is that slowly it's been sort of building and building. And now this is a crisis on the scale of what's happening in Darfur, but without nearly the amount of attention.
Without a Don Cheadle or somebody at the forefront in Hollywood championing the cause.
Exactly.
Three of the 10 stories on the list are about Africa, the potential for reheating a border war between Ethiopia and Eritrea, the booming economy in Angola, the Somali story we just talked about. Should news organizations be opening bureaus in Africa?
I mean, it's difficult because obviously, domestic news services tend to focus on, you know, they want to cover the news that's happening at home. But really, there is, you know, some attention needs to be cast to that part of the world. We actually, you know, we have an Africa bureau chief, and he's been following the Somalia story this whole time, you know, and we've been able to cover it on Time.com. And we actually just 2 issues ago, you know, ran a large feature by him on Somalia and the crisis. But it's... you know, it's something that, you know, obviously we'd love to be able to cover
sure.
more.
And
but
I bet safety's an issue, too, for reporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Here in the States, 2 political stories went under the radar. The White House exerting undue influence on federal agencies. What do we miss?
Basically, what was uncovered in July is that leading up to the 2006 election, the White House was actually encouraging officials from the National Drug Control Policy Office to go and appear on behalf of Republican candidates in competitive races when they are expressly prohibited from doing this. Federal officials, for the most part, are not allowed to participate in partisan politics.
Congress also got away with something that seems like it shouldn't have got that should have gotten a lot more attention, given all the talk from Democrats about ethics reform. Yet a leading Democrat kind of led the pork parade.
Absolutely. Representative Jack Murtha from Pennsylvania has sort of been unabashed about his willingness to channel as much money as possible back to his hometown. And in one case, that's a $23 million chunk of change for the National Drug Intelligence Center, which is in his hometown of Johnston, Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's been said, the Government Accountability Office itself said that this is actually a redundant facility. The work being done there is being done elsewhere in the country.
We're talking to Tiffany Sharples, who compiled the list of the top 10 underreported stories of the year. She did it for Time magazine. Now, some of these stories on your lists are good news stories. The lowered number of AIDS infections, growing economy in Angola, adult obesity rates leveling off, even though they're still really high. Does good news not mean news in our business?
I mean, obviously, you know, the expression is no news is good news. So that is probably a factor. In these particular cases, some of them are a little bit deceiving in terms of whether or not they're good news, actually. With the obesity rates, it is possibly good news that they've finally leveled off. But at the same time, the obesity experts I've spoken with have said, you know, maybe this is just an issue of saturation, that we've actually reached maximum capacity, that the people who are going to become obese have sort of fulfilled that. And at the same time, childhood obesity levels continue to skyrocket. So the future, the obesity in the future that we're going to inherit, you know, continues to go up.
And quickly, before I let you go, there is one store on your list. You have tuberculosis as a store on your list. But that plane-hopping honeymooner was everywhere. He was all over the headlines this year.
Absolutely. I mean, that also is sort of what's interesting, is the underlying issue is what we feel is underreported. You know, obviously that was sort of a blip on the radar. Everyone turned their focus to this issue for that brief moment because of that Atlanta attorney. But after that, no one seemed to focus that, you know, tuberculosis is still out there, and it's not just in the developing world. I think the most staggering statistic that we uncovered was that the number one area of the world with the largest level of TB treatment failures was Europe, and wow. We think it's limited to the developing world.
Tiffany Sharples, it works for Time magazine. She helped compile this list. Thanks for walking us through it, Tiffany.
Thank you.
For the record, some of these stories, like drug-resistant tuberculosis and Democratic earmarking, did not go unnoticed here at NPR. In fact, here's Brenda Wilson reporting on a young man and his battle with TB. This was from back in June.
During one hospital stay on the AIDS ward, he became infected with multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis when the nurse induced another patient to cough up sputum.
Which means that the patient was asked to breathe in vaporized saline, so he would cough and they could collect samples. This procedure was carried out 3 times on the open ward, and 8 of us were involved in the outbreak, and indeed 7 people died, and I'm the only survivor from that outbreak.
People with HIV, like most people with compromised immune systems, are particularly vulnerable to drug-resistant tuberculosis. Thorne spent 3 months in the hospital in isolation. Seeing Andrew Speaker in that mask brought back terrifying memories.
Because for 3 months I was essentially cared for by people that I didn't know. I didn't know what they looked like. All I could ever see were their eyes.
You know, we had... And that was, you hear us talking here, that was Brenda Wilson reporting. Hey, to see the full list of underreported stories, visit time.com. We were just praising Tiffany Sharples, that she was very good.
Yeah, that was a lot of bang for your buck. And it doesn't stop there. Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, the Stinky Diaper Awards, a list of parentally challenged newsmakers. I'm not on that list, I want to say for the record.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.